All right. Welcome to Dr. Skeleton's Art School, episode 346. I think we're on 346, maybe 347? 346. All right. It is Tuesday, January 23rd, 2024. Hi, everyone. This is going to be a bit of a different episode today. Ben's traveling, so I'm going to be holding it down by myself today. And this actually works out well, though, because this allows me the opportunity to get on the mic and talk about something important. I guess there might be new listeners. And so if you're joining us for the first time, welcome. First of all, welcome. This show isn't usually like this, though. You should know Ben and I are usually hosting this together. This is a special episode. And yeah, I guess special really is the right word, honestly. I'll stop beating around the bush here. Obviously, something has changed since the last time we put out an episode. Something really significant happened, and I'm going to be going through it on this podcast today. It's something that I've been looking forward to for a very long time, and now that we're past it, I feel like I have been looking at the world in a new way. I am talking, of course, about the premiere of True Detective Season 4, Night Country. This is a very long-awaited season of the HBO prestige drama series of True Detective. You may know True Detective from Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson's season back in 2014. It was crazy. It's 10 years ago now. And then two subsequent seasons that people did not like quite as much, and everyone still just kept talking about the first season. I am a big defender of every season of True Detective, 1, 2, and 3 for sure. People really didn't like season 2. I really like season 2. So anyway, I'm getting a little scatterbrained on this, but I'm going to keep it locked in. I wrote out a lot of notes, so let's get into some of the background here. Where to start? Let's see. So two episodes of season 4 have been released so far, and the season 4 it has a subtitle. It's called Night Country. I don't even know if they're using the word. I don't know if they're describing it as season 4 or not. So it's True Detective Night Country, and it's a new showrunner this time. So the first three seasons were helmed by Nick Pizza Man, as Ben calls him, but Nick Pizzolatto. And this is the first season that he is not involved in that way. He's still credited as an executive producer. I mean, so are Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson. I'm guessing that's just because, I don't know, they started the series in 2014, and I don't think they're probably involved in any way at this point. It's an anthology series. It's like a new crime story every season. And the only sort of connection up until now between seasons, is vibes. And everyone thinks that the vibes are different. Like people who really like the first season, and you know, I love the first season. It's a stone cold classic. Like it was set in Louisiana. It was this like Southern Gothic horror vibes. Tortured, haunted psyche, Matthew McConaughey waxing, is poetic the right word? I don't know, but he's going on these long, weird tangents that don't make any sense, and he has this really dark outlook on the world. And then the next season, it takes another turn. It's in California. And it's like a weird different crime story, and like people are like, what the heck is this? This isn't the same thing. But it's I gotta say, people who don't like season 2, they're wrong. It's a great episode of television, and the vibes are there. There is a spiritual through line. And I would also be remiss if I did not mention Ben's number one point about season 2 of True Detective is that Rachel McAdams has a very good hair in that season. And sure, I guess I agree. Season 3, I haven't revisited. I've rewatched both the first two seasons of True Detective multiple times. I've only seen the third season once, but I think it was phenomenal. What's his name? Mahershala Ali is the main guy, and he's really good in it. Anyway, none of these stories are connected up until now. Season four, after the first episode of season four, people were like, and I was like, whoa, hold on. Is there a connection here? Kind of remembering that Rust talked about Alaska in the first season, and this season is set in Alaska. And didn't he say his dad's name was Travis? And wait, hold on. There's a ghost, I think, in this season named Travis. Hold on there. And then after episode two, yeah, it's very obvious. Like, we definitely get... We're talking to Rust's mom in this, and that was Rust's dad. I gotta look up who plays. Hold on, True Detective. Oops, Fiona Shaw, and you probably recognize her. She played Aunt Petunia in the Harry Potter movies, but she was in Andor as Cassian's mother. She's got a great face for the camera, for movies, for TV. Anyway, she is doing a spot on Matthew McConaughey in season one impression. Like, it's straight up. she just is Matthew McConaughey from season one. It's really great. Anyway, I gotta say, I'll be up front with this. I like this season. I think people are, we're still in the zone where you can't say your opinion about this show openly, yet. I guess people are like, we're only two episodes in and everybody's looking around at everybody else. And they're afraid, you know, they're afraid that they're going to say, oh, this is good. And everyone else ends up saying that it's bad, or they're going to say, oh, this sucks. And everyone ends up saying like, oh, this is obviously a masterpiece. I am not afraid, you know, so far, I guess I'll say that, I'll couch it that way. So far, it's good. Come on, people, be brave, be bold. You can look at something and know what you think about it. Can't you? Am I the only brave one out here? Anyway, any other sort of like meta context things that we need to talk about here before we get into it? Okay, so I guess, yeah, sort of the release, you know, like I said, the season one is pretty universally held as a very good season of TV, when, you know, one of HBO's like crowning achievements, and it coming out in 2014. I think it, like, in some ways for the worse, some ways for the better, like, it changed the trajectory of this sort of like prestige television trajectory in the late 2010s, where, you know, we started getting more and more like A-list actors to like show up in a TV show, and it was treated like a movie, you know, like Fincher gets credit for that with, you know, House of Cards and things like that. And I don't know, some people are really mad at that because they think that dilutes the movies. I'm not really sure if I'm tracking all of that. I get that streaming is sucky, whatever, but as far as the content goes, we're all about content here. I'm liking True Detective. And when the fourth season premiered, or the first episode of the fourth season premiered, in this sort of uncertainty about, are people going to like this or are people going to hate this, there was a weird headline going around about how the new season's showrunner was responding to the reception of it. So Issa Lopez is the new showrunner, taking it over from the Pizza Man, and she was what did she say? She was complaining about lower audience score votes on Rotten Tomatoes, and was saying that there were people review bombing the series on Rotten Tomatoes. I think so. This is her post, I think. And I'm cribbing from an article on a Forbes article here, because she has since deleted the post. quote, so if you liked last night's episode of True Detective Night Country and have a Rotten Tomatoes account, maybe head over there and leave an audience review. The bros and hardcore fanboys of season one have made it a mission to drag the rating down, and it's kind of sad considering all the five-star ones. And listen, as a bro, as a hardcore fanboy of season one, I'm personally attacked and I'm going to take it upon myself to ruin this woman's life. Just kidding. Like I said, I like this season. And who, I don't know. I'm not really sure what to make of this so far. Like I haven't seen anybody, I haven't seen the Brigade happening. Also right now it's the highest rated season of True Detective on Rotten Tomatoes. So I'm not really sure what she's talking about. Like it's even higher rated than the first season. So it's at 92% right now. And season one is at 91. I think caring about Rotten Tomatoes is silly, but also I get like, it's your, like she has a lot on the line here, you know, like I can see, to pick up the mantle of making the next season of True Detective. And you're like, you set out to directly make a sequel to the season one that has become this, you know, cultural touchstone in so many ways that like, I don't know, that's a lot of pressure. I bet you feel, I would absolutely feel very self-conscious about it. Like, you are, I don't know, you've got a lot at stake here, to prove yourself in some ways, or I can see how you would feel that way. And so I totally get getting anxious about this kind of thing. And I don't know, maybe the audience score is a lot less and like how that's being tanked. And yeah, I think she made a mistake by like talking about it because it's meaningless. This is the Rotten Tomatoes ratings. It's too bad. I guess it's meaningless. And I'm sure it's meaningful in the ways that like there are terrible like studio executives who care a lot about it. And you only if you get a good Rotten Tomatoes score, that means you'll get more projects greenlit or whoever or however it goes. And that's too bad. And so I guess it could be a very material thing for people, but I don't know. If I was her friend, I would be saying, you know, forget all of them, et cetera. You're good. You made a good thing. You put your heart into it. This is your artistic vision. They haven't seen the whole season yet, and it's good so far. They're just precious about their time as a flat circle Matthew McConaughey thing. It's all right. You know what you're doing. You made something good. You're good. I just got very self-conscious of how absurd it is that I'm like recording myself, my voice talking into a microphone like by myself, like, and I'm like consoling somebody who does not need my help whatsoever. But I'm just saying, like, I don't think the people should be caring about the Rotten Tomatoes things, and it's too bad that ends up being something people care about, I guess, is the overall point. People are bad at watching movies and TV. We've said that many times on the show. They can't look at, they don't know what a good TV show is, and they don't know what a bad one is either. People hated the last season of Game of Thrones. It was the one of the only good seasons of Game of Thrones. People, I don't know. There's so too many examples of people liking bad stuff and people not appreciating good stuff. Didn't we just see that Better Call Saul Bob Odenkirk got passed over for Better Call Saul on the Emmys like every single season? I think we all know that this is people are bad at recognizing good stuff and bad at recognizing bad stuff. So that being said, let's actually get into a little bit of the substance of the show now that we're 20 minutes into this solo rant. I suppose I'm not beating the True Detective fanboy bro allegations by recording a big time unhinged rant on my podcast by myself about the whole thing. But nevertheless, let us continue. So, like I said before, season four is set in Alaska, north of the Arctic Circle. And even though I've made it clear, I like the show so far. I do have one major problem with the show, and that is that nobody looks cold. You're in Alaska. It should be cold. It's been well below zero here in Iowa recently, and I can tell just by looking at the actors that they are not freezing. They're like walking around. Their coats, their parkas are clearly costumes. Come on. You gotta be shivering a little bit. Some people are not even wearing... If I was in Alaska, I would be so bundled up. People are not bundling up. I'm trying to remember what the bundle up connection... I think there's a bundle up Dr. Skeleton lore connection. Maybe Ben can remind me of that. Anyway. Yep, they don't look like they're cold. I suppose it wouldn't really make for good TV if everyone's like snot was freezing and they were talking weird because their muscles and their faces can't move. But at least I would appreciate if they considered having more gross snow indoors. Like, so people like in the show, people are like walking into a building and they'll like casually just take their shoes off or their boots off at the door and just like step around in their socks. In my opinion, they should be stomping on the rug after they get inside to get snow off their pants. And then they like start swearing because it fell on the floor besides the rug. And then they like finally get out of their boots and jump over all of the snow. And then they grab a towel and clean it up. I think, just think that little piece of a world building and authenticity could be appreciated. I don't know if season one was shot on location, like down in Louisiana. But it was... It did... they had to have shot some stuff on location. It felt very, I don't know, like they're in the space. And I get that it's a lot harder to have a full like HBO production like in the Arctic Circle than it is like in the contiguous US. So I'm not trying to say like you have to go shoot this on location, but I am just remembering like, okay, it definitely feels like, oh yeah, Matthew McConaughey is like standing in some tall grass for sure. And now it's like, is Jodie Foster that cold? Come on. I think they should make Jodie Foster cold. That's my plea. And which, by the way, Jodie Foster leading this season along with, let me get her name. I hadn't seen the newcomer here, and she's excellent. Callie Rice. Callie Reese? Reese? I think that's her name. Two of them. Presumably the titular True Detectives. They're awesome. They're very good. Also, Ethan Hawke shows up. No, sorry. John Hawks shows up. And we're like, what the heck? There's John Hawks. And then second episode, Christopher Eccleston shows up. So we got a good cast going on. Everyone's doing a good job. And we love Jodie Foster. Big Jodie Foster fan. The other negative thing that I'll say, and then we'll get into some things I like. The screen replacement visual effects. Come on. All right. Now let's move on. It could be so easy to set a show in the Arctic Circle. It's a murder show. It's a detective mystery. It's dark. It's like kind of a horror show this season. It's literally very dark. And I can see how it would be very easy to go along with the trend of like very dark, visually dark, like literally dark scenes, and like it's just you're underexposing, or I don't know, you're not lighting things up very well. But the cinematography on this, the production design, this is a way more colorful and bright show than it could have been, and I want to be on record for applauding this direction. I think that there's a lot of there's too much like muddy, desaturated shows up there that just kind of... I think we're exiting that era a little bit though in TV. I think for a while it was trendy to have this sort of like really bleak color palette to match the bleak tones of stuff and just shoot everything really dark. But lights are back here in Alaska. Really, really good colors. I saw someone say that it's the cinematographer from Tar who's doing this show. And yeah, I can believe it. Tar looked amazing. I loved the cinematography in Tar. And so far, I'm really liking the way that this show looks visually. So that's great. Let's talk about the AI posters too. And this is one of the last things that I'm going to talk about for signing off here today. The posters in season two, there's a guy who one of the detectives goes to talk about because he might know some information, and his living quarters are one of these like employer housing. I don't know how to say it, but like presumably like one of these like big oil companies that is up in Alaska. They hire oil workers or you know whatever to come out live there in the dorms kind of thing. And so it's this really like a corporate housing apartment thing that is, you know, new construction and bleak and not that nice looking. And so he tries to decorate his apartment, and he's got these two like posters on the wall, and people were noticing that they look weird, and the accusation is that they are AI generated. These posters, they're like band posters, I think is the idea. And one of them you can see just says metal in like a Metallica font, and the type is like weird in a weird AI style where like it's really extended out and stretched in strange ways that like reminded people of the look of AI generated imagery. And actually, Issa Lopez does confirm that they are, that they're, if not actually AI created, but are supposed to be reminiscent of AI. So she says, "The idea is that it's so sad up there that some kid with AI made the posters for a loser metal festival for boomers. It was disgust ad nauseum." Yeah, I don't have trouble buying her story there. You know, like people were kind of acting like they didn't have like they're trying to cut corners by using AI to do production design now or something. And you know, like I guess maybe to me, I don't have trouble buying what Lopez says here, because like they still have like production designers and artists making this stuff, right? Like you still, even if they ended up, I don't know, like it doesn't just people are kind of acting like they used AI to like generate the scene itself. There's just like a whole lot, there's like a big process of putting something, you don't just happen to wind up with just anything on a wall when you're filming something like this. I don't know if that makes sense, but I believe that like it was talked about. I am still, you know, anti AI art, so I wouldn't have done this. But you know, like I'm guessing when they filmed this, they didn't film this last week, right? Like they probably made this decision when maybe not all the info it was out there about how AI art is bad. I don't know. But interesting that like I buy that commentary about how it's really sad and bleak up there that they don't have real music festivals, I guess. I don't know. I'm not in Alaska, and we famously have bad, not real music festivals. We had our own fire festival in Cedar Rapids a few years ago. So you don't have to go that far north to have a bad time. You could do it right here in Iowa. Anything else that I wanted to say? Oh, the title sequence. Season one's title sequence was instantly iconic, still one of the greatest of all time. And I gotta say, I love this season's opening titles. Like, they swung for something different. Like, I think it's, and I think that's representative of the show, is that, like, they're taking some big swings here, but still want to be in the True Detective ethos, and I suppose mythos now. They got the ethos and mythos doubling down. But there's Billie Eilish song is the title song, and it's really good, and it makes me think that I should check out more of her music. I've only heard her title sequence songs. So this one for True Detective season 4, and also the one that she made for No Time to Die, and both are great. And I'm thinking, maybe she has a third good song. The vibe of this season's title sequence really leans into the horror vibe of this season, which I think is cool. It's more of a horror vibe than the last two seasons overall, and the title sequence represents it. So I think that's everything that I had written about this show so far. I mean, I'm not going to start really getting into like the substance of what I think is going on or anything. I remember watching the first season and I really, really enjoyed like getting online and like reading the forums and like the subreddit for True Detective, and people's theories about what's going on. That was a really, really fun time back then. 10 years later, I'm less interested in doing that. I guess, I don't know. It's not like I'm doing other important things. Maybe that's a sign. Maybe I should fill my time better. But maybe it's just the case that I'm less compelled by reading internet forum commenters speculate about what is going on. Or maybe more so, it's that I want to hold space for that. That maybe that I've just changed as a person. But if I could get on my old man shit here for a second, I suspect that people are bad at watching TV, and that has now extended to forums. That I think the state of internet TV sleuthing is worse. I think people the general media literacy and critical ability of the general population has tanked. And so people just aren't saying interesting things anymore. I mean, people did make the connection, like drew the connections where like, hey, I remember today that Travis was the name of Rust's dad. And she mentions Travis here, but like, it's a very obvious connection and it's very explicit in the show. Anyway, we would have gotten to it in the next episode. I think, I don't know. I haven't seen anything compelling on the forums yet, but I'll still be checking in to see if we end up talking about the dang Yellow King anymore and we can identify who that might be this time. And, you know, I think that's going to basically do it for the show. Don't have anything else to talk about. I'm thinking about if there's anything else that happened or that I should give my opinion about, and I can't think of anything, so I'm going to leave it here. If you're new to the show, remember this. You know what I've decided? This is what we're going to do from now on. I'm not letting Ben back into the calls anymore. I think this was just such a fulfilling half an hour just doing this by myself that this is just how it's going to be from now on. So buckle in. We're finally going to take this thing to the moon. This is going to be the biggest thing in podcasting. My kind of rambling thoughts about a TV show. It's the future. All right. Thank you for listening to Dr. Skeleton's Art School. We'll be back next week with another episode. Enjoy yourselves.